The only truth that we shall enlarge upon for the existence of God is the ontos has the idea of existence. It follows the intuitional belief in God that every person has. We parallel Christian apologetics. We have one lesson in ontology and Christian apologetics, and we'll cross a lot of the paths here, but just a little bit different approach. The intuitional idea of God, or other names, innate knowledge, primary truth, first truth, necessary truth, direct knowledge, primitive perception, original knowledge, immediate knowledge, and of course many others. That is to say, the idea of God is an intuition of the moral reason. Direct knowledge of God. To understand the force of this argument, we must consider briefly what intuitional knowledge is. One does not learn that God exists by a long stream of reasoning, but it is an immediate cognition of the soul of man, as all the other intuitional perceptions are. But first, what intuitions are not. We're not going to enlarge upon these. Most of these are philosophical, and we said in Christian apologetics that the ontological argument is primarily metaphysical. Therefore, it isn't capable of too much proof and doesn't need it, we shall see, in the very nature of an intuition. You can't prove positively an intuition, but you have to accept it. And you outrage your reason when you don't. This is very graphic. It is why when philosophers and psychologists try to disprove an intuition, they have to use the thing itself to disprove it. And by doing that, they're proving it. You'll see this as we go along in necessary truth. You have to outrage reason. We shall see this, for instance. We'll use it again, but in our starting point. I know that I am, that I exist. That's an intuition. But try and prove it. Well, I can prove it now. I finally got my birth certificate. So I can prove I exist. I was born in Jacksonville, Florida, 63 years ago, last July the 6th. But, or as the little kid said, my excuse for living. That's my birth certificate. But I knew I was existing before then. It's like another intuition is personal identity. I know that this fellow in front of you is I, not Schnick or Fritz, some other Tom, Dick, and Harry. But it's Irvin, E-R-V-E-N-E. Yes? No, but I mean before I got the birth certificate. Before I could prove it on paper. No. No, I believe in the tradition theory of the origin of souls. That is, they did not have any existence whatsoever before the conception of the baby. This is the tradition theory of the origin of souls. We shall see this, the various theories, as we come to anthropology in our next doctrine, last one of the year. But what I was saying was I just got my birth certificate about 7 or 8 years ago. But I knew that I existed before then. I'll leave that intuition and identification for a further illustration later. Notice first negatively, then, and don't let these startle you too much. These are philosophical, and you follow me the best you can, and if you don't get it, it's all right. But this is the common proof of the existence of God. We won't go into the apologetic standpoint here. We do give you just in your notes, and we'll mention them, the five arguments that we used in apologetics, and then some other arguments that have been used. Strange, and God never intended that you should have to prove his existence. He always assumes it. Because an intuition does not have to be proven. I never realized that anybody tried to prove that they existed until I studied philosophy. And then I realized that they went around about way to try to prove what God never intended needed proving. It's self-evident truth, yes? Yes. We shall see that it was in a denial of intuition that philosophy finally wound up like Berkeley into the non-reality of anything. If any time you want a very deep study in this, you'll study the whole science of epistemology or the possibility of knowing. And it enters into the difference between phenomena and noumena. Can I know knowledge as knowledge, or since I only receive it through my senses, can I believe my senses? There may not be any reality out there. You all may not be out there. And of course, this is what philosophy finally wound up, denying the reality of anything. But God intended that the intuition should never need proving. Yes. As soon as you accept intuition, then you can prove everything your senses receive. But we shall see, this is what epistemology is. Can I believe what my senses receive? But that goes back to, can I believe that I have senses? Can I believe that I exist? I don't have to prove that I exist. I never even thought about it until I studied philosophy. That's the first thing, one of the first intuitions that a person accepts is the fact of your existence and then the and of positive continuity of identity. I not only know that I am right now who I am, but that I'm the same fellow that existed 63 years ago. Throughout all these 63 years, I have not changed into Schnickel Fritz or Katzenjammer. I'm the same fellow that was way back there. And you'll see how important this is to a believer. I know that, contrary to Russellism, I'm the same fellow that's going to be in the New Jerusalem 100 billion years from now. I'll have self-consciousness and self-identity. These two intuitions. But you see, Russellism denies this. They do it in a roundabout way by teaching that death is annihilation. Well, if I die before Jesus comes and I'm annihilated, I don't care who's resurrected, it won't be the same fellow that died if annihilation means what it's supposed to mean. What is annihilation? Annihilation. It's complete cessation. I don't know why God should judge the guy that's resurrected from for the sins of the guy that died. If the fellow that died was annihilated, the fellow that's resurrected shouldn't have to pay for the fellow's sins that was annihilated. They're crazy about this thing. If you die, you're annihilated, then you're resurrected, and then if you're a sinner, you're annihilated again. Since they say there is no hell, but it's annihilation. You try to find that in the scriptures. Notice the first criterion, then, negative, not the first criterion, but first negative, what an intuition is not. They're confused with these. Intuition is not a mental image. For a mental image comes from experience. You're not born with a mental image. This power of the mind to paint images. How's it through the eyes? We shall see in notions. But the imagination is able to paint all kinds of new combinations from perceptions of the past. But they're all the result of experience. Intuition does not come from experience. Experience only illuminates them. Second, an intuition furnishes no innate concepts. A concept is an idea formulated from experience. It's a mental process gathering together material and furnishing new concepts. That's not an intuition. Third, it's not a truth written prior to consciousness upon the soul. That would make the soul a material substance. And it isn't. Fourth, intuition is not a product of observation and reasoning. It arises in the soul as a result of reasoning, but reason doesn't produce it. It isn't a knowledge which blooms full grown without observation, but comes as it comes into focus by observation. Given the mind's rational exercise, and the intuitions spring full bloom. So the reasoning doesn't produce it, it only illuminates it. We'll see this as we deal with the threefold criterion, or criteria of intuition. Therefore, an intuition is a primary or first truth developed by observation and reasoning, but not produced by them. They are truths which need no proof but are self-evident. They require no mental process. The most ignorant heathen has these same intuitions. So most postulates of geometry are self-evident truths. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. You actually can't prove the axioms of geometry. You have to accept them. I don't know how many of you studied geometry. There are quite a few axioms. Things equal to the same things are equal to each other. A part is less than the whole, and the whole is made up of all of its parts. That's an axiom. You have trouble proving them. A straight line can never enclose a space. Some of them seem silly. You'd be surprised. You've got to accept them in order to proceed in geometry. They're absolutely necessary. For instance, the intuition of space, and that an object occupies space. Even a small child without any ratiocination whatsoever. For instance, if there's an object here on this desk, you'll say, put this there, down on the desk. You'll move the book over and then put the thing down. That is an intuition that objects occupy space and only one object can occupy that space at the same time. That is a materialistic object. There are quite a few intuitions. For instance, there's all the intuition of space. that every object occupies space, and the extension of space, there is the intuition of time, past, present, and future. It's an intuition concerning the past, concerning the future. In space, we have up, down, out, in. We shall see that the belief in God is not something that one arrives, to which he arrives by long mental processes, arguments. It's spontaneous in the hearts of all people. Now let's see the criteria of an intuition. There are three of them. I won't go into it here as we do in apologetics. There are those who make them only two. But I believe these three are better. Now, what we're doing this for is to show that the belief in the existence of God is an intuition. Not a ratiocination, not a speculation. Here's why the belief in God is universal. The atheist is in a direct minority. A very small minority. And that's why the Bible calls him a fool. He has to become a fool to deny the existence of God. For he is denying his own intuitions. Follow me in your notes. An intuition first is self-evident. That is, it carries its own proof and admits of no proof. You can't actually prove an intuition. You're not supposed to. God wrote it on the soul to be self-evident. Many of the great philosophers of the past few centuries have outraged reason by denying many of the things intuition accepts as self-evident. We saw in apologetics the same arguments that the philosophers as you have used to prove that there is no God wound up proving there is no you. And that's why Berkeley finally came to his idealistic philosophy that there is nothing really real. But when you outrage one intuition, you outrage all the rest. God never intended an intuition to be proven. It's an axiom of life. You have to accept it. It's self-evident. How do I know, for instance, that the world out there is real? Now, of course, the whole business of Christian science is built upon this false philosophy of Berkeley, along with Hinduism. You could trace everything that Mary Baker Eddy ever taught to two sources. Religiously, to Hinduism. Philosophically, to Berkeley. His idealistic philosophy. One is the denial of matter, and the other is the universal pantheism that all is God and God is all. You can see it all through Mary Baker Eddy's Science and Health with padlock to the Scriptures. You'll find it on every page. How do I know that you're sitting out there? I can see you. That's one of my senses. I could come out and shake hands with you and feel your hand. I can hear your voice when you speak. But these are all senses that tell me one thing, but how do I know they're telling me the truth? So Mary Baker Eddy said it's all an error of your mind to believe in the reality of matter. There is no matter at all. You're believing the error of your senses. That's why she said, for instance, that there is no marriage. It's a wedding of the mind. And then she was married about five times and lived with several other men. She was dirty as a snake. Her real names were Mary Patterson Baker Glover Eddy. And there's one other there that I never have been able to find out what his name was. But she didn't believe in marriage. Isn't it funny to be married that many times and not believe in marriage? I doubt whether Mickey Rooney believes in marriage. He's been married eight times. He just took the last one. He hopes this will be the last, and I do too. But I doubt whether he really believes in marriage. I believe in it thoroughly. But I think after eight times, I wouldn't have much faith in it. There is an error in your notes. This fellow Googled. I don't know where that ever came from. It's Dougal. It's Professor Dougal. D-O-D-U-G-A-L-D. He was a Scotsman philosopher who followed this theory, like Alexander Zane and Stewart and Berkeley. It's Dougal. D-U-G-A-L-D. Not Googled. Isn't it strange that it was left to these modern-day philosophers to think of a theory like this? All the great philosophers of ancient times, like a Plato and an Aristotle, none of these ever thought to deny the existence of or reality of knowledge or of matter. That it really exists out there. That there is an external world. But it was just playing around with intuitions and the denial of them to get away from God. To philosophy away God. And finally led them to philosophy away anything else. I don't care what they say, I know that I exist, that I have personal identity, that I am I and not someone else. And by the same intuition, I know that God exists. Of course, I know better by a lot of other ways now. As the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I know that he not only dwells in heaven, he dwells in my heart. Yes? Yes. Yes.
Well, I find it very interesting. In Scripture, there's five spiritual senses, smell, taste, and taste.
Yes.
So proof, when he's born again, would be that he can tell from his spiritual sense the five senses, right?
Yeah, this is the making alive of that spirit within. And, of course, this is where the primary death took place, in the day that Adam fell. That instant, Adam died. The life of God went out of his soul, his spirit. And, of course, this is why when you're born of the spirit, you become spirit or pneumoth. And all those senses are revived. That's why, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It has the idea that as soon as they're saved, they see him. But this is the first criterion of an intuition. Self-evident truth. You don't have to prove it. It proves itself. The second criterion, originality or necessity. I like another term, logical independence. It doesn't need anything with it. Immanuel Kant, for instance, in his Critique of Pure Reason, says concerning necessity, he defines necessity as that of which negation is impossible. You can't deny an intuition. You run into all kinds of absurdity, nonsense, foolishness, and you make a fool out of yourself. Let's go back to this intuition. I know that I exist. When you deny it, I don't care what kind of vagaries you might use or philosophizing, you make a fool out of yourself. I don't have to prove it, especially to me. I might have to you, especially if you're a Christian Scientist. But I know, and I've always known, and I never learned it, that I am I. Period. And that I really have self-consciousness. It does not mean that it cannot be doubted philosophically, but it leads to contradiction when you do. In fact, their necessity can be shown by the fact that to prove that they do not exist, you have to use the thing itself to prove that it doesn't exist. For instance, when I try to prove that I don't exist, I have to use my existence to prove that I don't exist. That's exactly what they have to do about God. You try to prove that God doesn't exist, and you can't use any external thing whatsoever. You have to prove God himself to prove that he doesn't exist. You have to use him to prove that he doesn't exist. I think personally that the existence of God, of course, is the number one intuition, self-existence. Jacob well said concerning the beautiful, it can be shown and appreciated, but not proven. For the sense of the beautiful seems to be an aesthetic instinct, an intuition that God placed within personality. I believe angels have it. Certainly God has it. God has made everything beautiful in its time, Solomon says. That is when it came in his hand. The smallest thing under the 300,000 power electronic microscope is just as beautiful as the stars. A grain of sand under the microscope is a thing of exquisite beauty. God, evidently, loves the beautiful. And you wait till he makes that new home for us when we get to it and makes all things new. There can be anything ugly in it. And don't say, well, maybe you won't be in it then, but I will, because he's going to make me over again. I'll be as pretty as you are. Then, in the meantime, you have it worse than I do. You have to look at me. Like that old poem, I've forgotten the rest of it, where my face is no star, but it says, when the last part of it is, it's the person in the front who gets the jar. The last one, then, is this, or rather, the second one is the originality or necessity. It cannot be denied. Third is universality, and this is the one that, to my mind, is the conclusive one. That is, it's believed by all men. In all of history and in all of geography. All men, everywhere, believe in the intuitions. The Hottentot knows that he is, and that he has self-conscious existence. And isn't it more than passing strange there isn't a people on the face of the earth that don't believe in God? Or disbelieve in God? But they're still proven intuitional proof of God's existence. The atheist, as we saw in Christian apologetics, arguing there is no God, proves there is one. And then, of course, there we gave the proof of God's existence from profanity. Profanity wouldn't be worth a thing in the world if they were not profaning a reality, not a ghost. That's why all real profanity, not Great Caesar's Ghost or something like that, but all real profanity is against sacred things and against God. Has to be. Yes?
In my life, it would be raised to be judgment for someone. And that's the things that we consider easy to take in by our senses don't seem to be so real, like that. You know, the material things that start with.
It doesn't mean that the senses can't receive wrong impressions, but they are receiving impressions. And the whole science of epistemology is, can I trust my senses, perceptions? And all men everywhere have, by natural processes, learned to trust them until proven that you are seeing an illusion. Like seeing a mirage on the distance. This is caused by natural things. But take the intuition that all objects occupy space. If the bell sounds and I'm in a hurry to get out of here, I'm not going to go right through here. And here's the funny thing, not even a child will do it. A real small child. The smallest child, unless they're crazy. They'll do exactly what I do. Go around. And a little bit further, please. This occupies space, too. I'm off the land on the top of my head if I trip over that urn down here. This shows that it's written upon the soul of man, an intuition. And the knowledge of God is that God exists is such. Atheism is not now and never has been universal. Therefore, atheism is not an intuition. Hear why there are so few of them. Now, it'd be a very comforting doctrine for a reprobate to believe there isn't any God, but he doesn't. He doesn't do it unless he is a philosopher and argues against his intuition. All men everywhere believe in God, as seen by the fact that all men everywhere have a tendency to worship and a need to worship. Let's see, in closing our lesson, the application of the intuitional knowledge of God. Men ask, why am I not conscious of an intuition? And I answer, because there are intuitions. You're not conscious of an intuition, you just act on it automatically. You have to study it out or think about it to become conscious of an intuition. The mind acts upon them unconsciously, as that little child who will not try to walk through the desk. Oh, you say, but it's learned, or it's run into it once or twice, but I've seen some that haven't run into it. They still walk around it. The very simplicity of the truths of intuition causes the most perplexity. And here's why all men everywhere, the most ignorant, have always acted upon their intuition, while only the educated philosopher or psychologist will try to argue them away. Nobody else does. So, the intuition of God, like all intuitions, can be argued against but cannot ultimately be denied. As Voltaire on his deathbed cried out for God that he denied all of his life existed. He knew he existed. And therefore, in the ultimate, cried out for mercy. Not exactly for mercy, but escape. Voltaire's death was a horrible one. Let us see the application then in closing. These are not in your notes. Number one. since the end of our being is to worship God, as proven by all men everywhere, not only in the Bible. We've already seen the atheist defines man as a worshiping animal. And also incurably religious. Why? If there isn't any God. Why? Because it's an intuition written by God upon the heart of man. The propensity of all men everywhere to worship. There isn't a people on the face of the earth that do not have the concept of God and the worship of God and sacrifices to appease God. Now, since this is an observable fact, not a theory, there must be in our human natures a special adaptation to the knowledge of God. It must be there. Unless every man's whole religious propensity is a lie. But if so, why do all men have it? Man's very capacity for and predilection for worship and religion proves that he has an intuition written by the Creator, stamping his image upon man so that he knows there is a God. He has to absolutely ruin every intuition he has to deny God's existence. Notice second. So we find that the belief in a deity has been coexistent with the whole human race. In the past, till now, and to every man in every generation. The belief in deity is coexistent with the human race. All history shows this, archaeology, and all present communion or study of the human race shows that all men everywhere have it. There must be, therefore, something in man which recognizes the existence of God without any kind of labored or formal demonstration. Here is why very often the ignorant savage has a clearer concept of God than the philosopher does. We shall prove this as we go along. Because the philosopher has darkened counsel with words without knowledge, we shall quote this text. As in Christian Apologetics, number 3, this is further confirmed by the fact that the same process of speculation which is used to philosophize or doubt the existence of God doubts the existence of man, if he has any reality at all. To deny the existence of God is finally to lead to the denial of all existence, period. It works that way. You study all philosophy and you'll see it. Fourth, the very fact that the Scriptures address themselves to all men everywhere assumes that in all men is the innate consciousness of God. Or the Scriptures would not be so universal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Universal. Christ died for all. He tasted death for every man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever, we've got a gospel to preach to every creature on earth. Why? If there wasn't something in that man to which you could appeal through the gospel. If he's a child of Adam, then he has this intuition of God. And it's further proven by the fact that many, many atheists have been saved. Many. Well, outraging every intuition of their soul of the existence of God and their moral responsibility to that God. Until finally they denied there isn't any God and laughed at the very existence of God and then get saved. You'll use one of those illustrations in Christian apologetics. The scriptures teach universality of the need and the cure. Is there anyone on earth who can say, I've never sinned? That's why Paul says in Romans 5, in Adam, all died. Everyone. Number 5, the moral law in every man postulates the universal intuition of a personal holy God to whom he's accountable. And here's the universality of judgment. There isn't a person on the face of the earth that doesn't have a inner concept that I'm answerable to God, I've done wrong, I've sinned, and God is angry with me. Here's why in all heathenism, I don't care what form it takes, there is a sacrifice to appease an angry God. And I don't care what philosopher it is, if he's conscious just before his death, he is in an agony knowing he's going to face a holy God. I don't care what he's denied in his lifetime. I've got several of these testimonies in my file of atheists who, on their deathbed, cried out in agony knowing that they were lost and undone, and going to face a holy God with a heart laden with sin. Why? And we developed this further, of course, in apologetics because of its nature. This is why a fool shouts so loud in his atheism. It's why a real atheist has to be blatant, loudmouth, trying to fool himself into believing there is no God. I've often thought of that, methinks he protested too much. And it's why there are so few atheists, and all the rest of the human race believes in God in one way or another. The only trouble is, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. They don't want to come through Jesus. I get so sick of religionists on TV and other places talking about how they found God. And they're finding him through yogiism, some through Hinduism, some through Mohammedanism, some through rationalism, and every other way under the sun except by way of Jesus Christ. We'll see when we come to man's natural ignorance in our next lesson. All men know that there is a God, but all men don't want to acknowledge it. You can look in your notes and see the 5 arguments. We won't go into them. But then notice the 6 arguments that have been used further, and we use these in Christian apologetics. The Bible must be accounted for. Miracles must be accounted for. The influence of Christianity must be accounted for. Christ must be accounted for. And the facts of your conversion must be accounted for. And fulfilled prophecy must be accounted. Now, we'll start in our next lesson on man's natural ignorance of God, answering the question of, since all men have an intuition of God, why then the abysmal ignorance of God? Why does not man, by searching, find out God? Since every man is made in the image of God, every man knows God by intuition. We'll prove this from Romans, first chapter. Don't anybody kid you. The atheist knows him. Why then is man naturally ignorant of God? You're dismissed.